Oh, sometimes I amaze myself. But I had absolutely nothing to do with it. The Lord gave me that some time ago, and I just thank God for His faithfulness. And I guess I have two confessions to make, really, tonight, and get them off my chest. I'm the one that said good morning twice. The first one to Darlene coming into the parking lot, and the second to Lily out here in the foyer. And I forget what the other one was, but I confess it, whatever it is. Okay. It is good to be with you tonight and to open the Word of God and to share from His Word. And I just pray, as I said last night, and hopefully that, you know, what we're looking at is encouragement to you. And I really believe that we're living in a time where the body of Christ needs to be encouraged. Now, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. And when you really come down to it, there's a lot of stuff going on within the church, the body of Christ. And we as believers need to be encouraged. And that's what prayerfully that we're doing. And that during these meetings and these services, that they're just not something that we come together to do, that we said, now, well, we did that, now what? You know, that these services are for a purpose, and that we come to hear what God may want to say. And if God speaks to one heart, the whole thing's worth it. You know, the Bible says that there's great rejoicing over how many? One. When one comes to repentance and saving faith in Christ Jesus, heaven rejoices. All of heaven rejoices. And so if one is encouraged, this whole time together is worth it. But if you have your Bibles and you want to turn, we're going back to the book of Psalm and the 77th Psalm, Psalm 77. I'm going to read, beginning at verse 1 and read through verse 15. Now, if you can multitask, as I read through this psalm, see if you can pick up on something that we've been attempting to talk about Sunday morning and last night. And then I'll bring it to what I was referring to after I'm done here. But in Psalm 77, beginning at verse 1, he says, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered you, O God, and I groaned. I mused, or I pondered, or I reflected, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart mused. There again, we pondered, we reflected, and my spirit inquired. Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. Father, we just come before you tonight, and that your word says that you can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find help in time of need. And God, we are a needy people today. We're not independent of you, but we are dependent upon you. And we need you tonight, Lord. And Lord, you've heard the request that has been mentioned tonight, as we have prayer for them. And God, it's not that you have forgotten them. It's not that you can't. That's not that you don't see them, you don't hear them. But God, we commit them to you, that you would get glory out of all that you do. And Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit, again, I ask for his anointing. I ask that you would hide me behind the cross of Jesus Christ. And God, that your will be done in this service tonight and on earth as it is in heaven. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. Did you see anything in there that we read Sunday morning and last night? Anything at all that may have taken place? Did you see or did you hear how his focus shifted? We've been talking about that, you know, but as for me, Sunday morning, about how our focus shifts from this to this. Our focus can be on our problems, our circumstances, rather than to be on the God that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask, think, or imagine. And so we see that we see that in here. You know, he's going from one to, God, where are you? God, have you forsaken me? To the point where he says, I begin to remember, I begin to reflect on God, what you've done. And that's what we need to do. You know, there are times where are in dark valleys. There are times where, as believers, we may feel all alone. There may be times where we think, does anybody really care? Does anybody really listening to me? God is. God does care. And God does listen. God doesn't always answer when you want or when I want. But God is listening. The Bible says that God says, call on me and I will answer. Now, he doesn't say, if you call on me, I'll answer you in the next 10 seconds. He doesn't say that. But what God says is, you call on me and I will answer. And I will show you great and mighty things you didn't know. So we have the certainty of our calling on God and that God will answer. That is the certainty that we have. And I love that first song that we sang. There's a lot of things that we don't know. I don't know how the Spirit moves. I don't know a lot about this. I don't know a lot about that. But one thing I am thoroughly convinced of, I know in whom I believe. And you need to be thoroughly convinced in whom you believe and that whatever you commit to him, he can handle, he can deal with it. And we have to imagine God enthroned in heaven and the prayers that are ascending to the throne of God. And you know when you're in a room with about 100 people and everybody's talking and it's almost impossible to distinguish what a lot of people are saying. Amen? Just like a lot of cluckety-cluck going on. That may not be a way to describe it, that, you know, whatever. But even when you get hundreds, thousands of believers praying and they're crying up to God in heaven, God hears every single voice, and every single voice is distinguished of who it is. God sees you. God hears you. He doesn't ask Jesus, what did he say? God hears you and God sees you. And I love Japheth's example there about this young man in the accident. You know, I'm glad he survived. And you used the word, it was a miracle that he survived. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, God being a miracle worker. And I know that there are subjects or things that come up when in preaching that, you know, when you say I'm going to preach about this or this, sometimes there is just a wall of questions and all kinds of things that can come in and be distractions. And if I say God is a miracle worker, people can say, well, when's the last time that you saw a miracle? When did you ever witness a miracle? I want to tell you today, if you are a child of God, born again by the Spirit of God, you are a miracle today. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You are a miracle. No one else can save your soul. You can't. I can't. Pastor can't. Only God can do that. And if you've experienced the precious blood of Christ redeeming you, washing your sins away, and you become a new creation, you are a walking, breathing, talking miracle. And God is still doing that today. Amen? And even if we talk about God doing miracles, and one of the things of it is, it's natural for God to do the supernatural. Did you catch that? It is natural for God to do the supernatural. It's not a big deal for God to do anything. We know that there is nothing that God cannot do. Nothing, absolutely nothing. And the thing of it is, God chooses to work and do things through his people. For us to pray for people. The Bible is simply clear about laying on of hands, about anointing with oil for the sick. That is something that the body of Christ does. They used to do it at Roxbury. I guess they still do it out there. Do they? Thursday or Friday was always healing day or a healing message. So we still have that. How can you preach healing when everybody's not healed? Well, how can you preach salvation when everybody's not saved? Do I stop preaching healing because Susie is not healed? I don't get to distinguish. I don't get to pick and choose who is healed and who isn't. God does that. But I have to fulfill my responsibility, my obligation as a believer to lift people up in prayer. Let God do the rest. But it is natural for God to do the supernatural. You know, even when we look at the Bible, even when we look at this book, would we agree that this book begins in Genesis with a miracle? Would we agree with that? It starts off with a miracle. In the beginning, God. We establish that truth. We establish that fact that God was in the beginning. And they said, well, where did God come from? I don't know. Does anybody here know where God came from? I don't know. But I know in the beginning he was. And then God said, let there be, boom, there was. A miracle. So the book begins in Genesis with a miracle. The Bible ends in Revelation with another miracle. The rapture of the believer, and then the second coming of Christ. You talk about a miracle. When the rapture takes place and hundreds and thousands of people disappear in the twinkling of an eye, there's going to be some heads being scratched like, what just happened? Sad to say, there will be people who won't know what happened, and there's going to be people who did know what happened. And who said the other night they didn't know that? I figured they didn't want to miss the rapture. Who said? Who was that? Okay. But we see that in Scripture. And between Genesis and Revelation, the Bible is filled with God performing miracles, supernatural things that man can't explain. And I have found out today, when man can't explain something, it drives him crazy. You know, they want to scientifically try to downplay what happened, like we read last night, at the Red Sea.
Well, they said, some scientists say, well, that's impossible. It wasn't where they said it was. It was over here. And there, you know, it was only like 6-8 inches of water. Oh, and then somebody said, well, that was even more of a miracle if you drown an army in 6 inches of water. But God is a performer of miracles. I'm one. Anybody else a miracle in here? I believe we all are. Are we without problems? No. But we know the one that can solve them all. Amen? And you know, and many of us may have needed a supernatural move of God. And at times, and maybe it didn't happen how we wanted it, when we wanted it. And discouragement sometimes can set in. You know that discouragement is the primary weapon that Satan uses. I heard a message, it's been years and years ago, at a Billy Graham School of Evangelism in Atlanta, Georgia. A woman preached this sermon entitled, The Devilish Deeds. And discouragement was number one. And he knows, our enemy, Satan knows, that if he gets you discouraged, he can cause you to walk away, shrink back. What's the use? But we can never shrink back. And if you read through the book of Hebrews in chapter 10, it says that God takes no pleasure to them that shrink back. We can't shrink back. We got to stand our ground. And it's like I said last night, if you don't stand firm in what you believe, you won't, and you can't stand at all. So you have to know in what you believe. Your beliefs will be challenged. The enemy will see to that. We have an enemy that's out roaming around, seeking whom he may devour. But we have to keep our guard up. Be alert. Be alert. Stand your ground. Be attentive to what's going on. And you know, we even are in a time where people think as they come and their need is not met, they have this sense or feeling, well, maybe, I haven't done enough good things. Maybe I haven't prayed enough. Maybe I haven't read my Bible enough. Maybe I haven't done this. Maybe I haven't done that. It's not by how much I do that gets God's attention. It's not the amount of good deeds I do. How can I earn a miracle from God? You cannot ever earn a thing from God. Just let me set your mind at ease. You can't earn anything from God. Everything that we get, you get, I get from God is by faith. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace you are saved through faith, not of works. You can't work your way into heaven. You can't do enough good things to get yourself into heaven. But if you do one thing, you can be guaranteed heaven, and that's if you accept Jesus Christ as Savior. And then in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But he that comes to God must believe that he is. I must believe that God is what? What am I supposed to believe? That God is my Savior. God is my healer. God is my Redeemer. God is my peace. God is my provider. I must believe that what God says he is in the Bible is what he is and who he is. In Beth Moore's book, Believing God, she talks about five principles in this book. The number one principle is that I believe God is who he says he is. That's one thing that you have to settle in your walk with him, that whatever God says or whoever God says he is, he is. He is the Alpha Omega. He is the beginning and end. He is the first and last. Secondly, what we have to believe, that God is able to do everything he says he can do. Well, what about this? Well, God says he can do it, he can do it. What about that? God says he can do it, he can do it. We have to come to the point where we are going to stand on this book and what it tells us or not. And I believe it. I believe it. I've gone through some difficult times. Martha has, and some of you have too. And you know, as you look back, that you would have not made it apart from God doing a miracle and bringing you through it. Amen? I wouldn't be standing here today apart from what God has done. God has walked me through all kinds of stuff. And some of you, as we talked earlier, everybody in this room has a story. You have a story. And it's like Jesus and the woman at the well. She had a story. She went back and told the people her story. And they had to rush out and see Jesus. And they said, well, you know, we've heard him. Now we don't believe just because of what she told us. We believe him because what we heard him tell us. So we all have a story. But we must believe that he is. He is what? He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Or another translation says, earnestly seek him. So our heart has to be set like flint, that we're passionately, earnestly, diligently going to seek Christ. And I heard speakers say one time is, do not seek a miracle. Don't chase after a miracle, your miracle. Seek and chase after and seek, diligently pursue the one who can do the miracle. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, seek first the miracle of God. Unless you have some other strange translation. But Jesus himself said, seek first the kingdom of God. All of these things will be added unto you. I seek him. The Bible is constantly telling us to seek him. Seek me while I may be found. Seek him wholeheartedly. Don't be half-hearted about your seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be half-hearted about seeking God. You know, I don't know if I've ever said this before, but this bumper sticker that says, try Jesus, I like to go up there and just rip that thing off the bumper. I'm not out just to try Jesus. Are we? Do I just want to try him? If I don't get what I want, if it's like rubbing my genie lamp, and if he don't pop out and give me three wishes, I'm going to throw it away. I seek him. I seek after him. He is the one that came. He is the one that went to the cross. And as on the cross, we read in the scripture, according to Isaiah 53, he was unrecognizable. Jesus was unrecognizable when he was hung on the cross. And why did he do that? He did it for me. He did it for you. He did it so that you could have a reunited relationship with God through him. Jesus said, I come that you might have life. I come that you might have life and have it abundantly. That's why he came. David said it so beautifully, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Oh, God is so merciful. Forgive me, but God is so merciful. If it wasn't for his mercy and grace, where would any of us be? I wouldn't be standing here. I'm telling you that right now. I would not be here. But God is a God of mercy. God is a God of grace. What moves the heart of God is faith, not by what we do. I read nowhere in Scripture where when somebody came to Jesus because of their problem, their ailment, their physical dilemma, whatever it was, that Jesus said, well, let me see. What did you do? You didn't do this. You didn't do that. What did you bring me? He didn't do any of that. He responded to them. He responded to their faith. The leper went to Jesus. And being a leper, there were certain rules that you had to abide by. But the leper went to Jesus and said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And the wonderful thing about that was, it says that Jesus reached out and touched him. When Jesus touched the leper, he became unclean. How about Bartimaeus? I love Bartimaeus. I love his character. I love his boldness. He heard the commotion and he said, what is going on? And he was beside the road with his begging garb and as well, Jesus of Nazareth is coming by. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. Shut up, Bartimaeus. Shut up. What makes you, gives you the right to yell out to Jesus? I guess I don't have a right. I'll just keep quiet. Jesus! What authority, what right did he have to stop that Jesus prayed? He had a need. Jesus stopped. Jesus stopped and said, bring him to me. He threw away his begging garb. They brought him to Jesus and he stood face to face with Jesus. Jesus said, Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? I want to see. He saw. I imagine he looked into eyes of pure love, pure compassion. The centurion, he went to Jesus. And he said, he went to Jesus on behalf of his servant. He said, my servant is really sick. He's near death. And Jesus said, I'll go to your house and heal him. He said, wait a minute. I know what authority is. I have authority. I can tell them to do this, they'll do it. I tell them to come, they'll come. All you need to do is send the word, and my servant will be healed. Jesus marveled at his faith. He marveled at his faith. And it wasn't long till he got word that his servant was healed. What time did that happen? At the same time Jesus said he's healed. Faith. One of the common threads about that is they all had an attitude, or they were all desperate. They were all desperate. The leper had no other means. I mean, he was sentenced to a life and he was sentenced to death. Bartimaeus, you know, he received his sight. The leper. Jesus has come. And we read that in Luke chapter 4. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to the needy, to the hurting, to the discouraged, to set prisoners free from addictions, from anger, unforgiveness, jealousy, a hopeless feeling. And there are a lot of hopeless people in the world today. I just heard a statistic today that, I guess in the state of Pennsylvania, there are not enough of mental health workers. Because of people being so depressed, There are many, many more people are committing suicide, thinking of suicide. And there's not enough workers, and even people in training won't be trained enough to deal with the increase or the influx of people that need counseling. To set prisoners free. You know, I jotted this down this afternoon as I was going over this, and I said, being a believer today is just not about following a bunch of rules. I grew up saying, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. All I heard was don't. But religion, Bible says, you know, it's not about religion, it's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. What is my relationship with Christ, Jesus? What is my relationship with God the Father? What is my relationship with the Holy Spirit? They're the Trinity, they're the three in one. So what is my relationship? That is my primary concern, that I keep my relationship with the Father open and clean. Do I mess up? Yeah. I do. Now don't sit there and look at me like you don't. But I do. But I thank God because of grace. I'm saved by grace. And I live by grace. I live in this grace that God is abundantly supplied. Jesus came to bind up the brokenhearted, the crushed, the emotionally, the spiritually, the weight of the world, the load that is too heavy to carry. You know, sometimes life can really be heavy. It can be a heavy load. To give sight to the blind, physically, yes, but to give understanding and clarity about the kingdom of God. Jesus said that very clearly and plainly to Nicodemus in John 3. When Nicodemus came to him, Jesus explained it to him. You cannot see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. You cannot understand the kingdom of God because the world cannot ever understand the kingdom of God. That's why the natural mind can never understand this book. You cannot understand this book in the natural mind. This is a spiritual book written by a spiritual person to spiritual people. That's you and me. We understand it through the Spirit of God revealing it to us. And so we have to spend time with Him. So as I have a lot of stuff to say, not a lot, but there's things that could say. But as we bring this message to conclusion, God is still doing miracles today. He really is. The God who was clearly is the God who still is. The God who did miracles is clearly doing miracles today. And we have to believe that. And if we have a need, I must believe. I know in whom I believed, and I am persuaded that what I give to Him, He's able to handle. And then I have to rest in Him, knowing that God, You're going to take care of this. I trust You. I believe what Your Word says. God, I just give it to You. I give it to You. The same God who we read throughout Scripture is the same God that we love and serve today. We serve a risen Savior. We sing that at Easter time. There's nothing wrong with singing it any other time because we do serve a risen Savior. And I think it was said here in one of the services, you ask me how I know He lives? He lives within my heart. He's real. He's real. God is real. Jesus is real. The Holy Spirit is real. And whatever your need is of today, the Bible is very clear. It says that God God knows what you have need of even before you ask Him. That's what the Bible tells me. That God knows what you need. He knows what I need even before I ask Him. And He gives me the wonderful opportunity, the wonderful privilege of bringing that need to Him and saying, God, I give it to You. I trust You. I believe in You. Your will be done in that situation. Whatever it is. God, You get glory out of that. You bring honor and glory to Your name. And I will praise You. And one of the things that if we become discouraged, the antidote for discouragement is praise. Is praise. One of the hardest things I have found is that it's hard to praise God when you feel the weight of the world upon your shoulders. And there may be times where you just feel so down, you don't even feel like worshiping. And you feel lost. You feel forgotten. But I heard a worship leader say one time, when you feel lost, you begin to worship and praise God. God will find you. He knows where you are. The Bible says, tells you to cast all of your care. That thing that bothers you, that thing that concerns you, that thing that is constantly there, that thing that so, as the writer in Hebrews 12 says, that thing that so easily trips you up, cast that on Me. You forget about it. Let Me deal with it. Trust God with it. Trust God for it. To walk you through it, whatever it may be tonight. Do we believe that? Okay. I hope we do. Do you know in whom you believe? Do you believe Ephesians 3:20? That God is able to do exceedingly abundantly. Amen. And that's what we stand on. Amen. Father, we thank You for tonight. God, I know Your presence is here. I know Your presence is here. And Father, we're talking about a subject that people, many, 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 many people need. A supernatural move of God in their life. They've been praying about it. And God, they're believing for You to move in their behalf. And God, may we not let go. May we not give up. May we continue to hold fast to our profession of faith. Lord, Your word says that we overcome by our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. And so, Father, may we continue to praise You. May we continue to worship You, even when we're going through the driest times in our lives, even the darkest times in our lives. May praise continually well up with inside of us, Lord, to praise You even in the discouragement. So, Father, we thank You tonight. And the Holy Spirit, I ask that you speak to the hearts of people, that You address the needs in the lives of people tonight. Anyone in here? That Holy Spirit, You are God's servant now, here, among us, with us, in us, as Jesus said. That You would minister to people, that You would speak to people, that You would lead people, guide people. Help them, Lord, tonight. You are our helper. You are our strengthener. You are the one who stands by us. Holy Spirit, do that in the lives, Lord, of these dear people tonight. And we thank You for what You're going to do. Lord, may we hear testimonies of what You're doing. That things begin to change. Things begin to shift. God, there is light. That light is Jesus. And we must focus on Him.
that we may seek him with our whole heart. Seek him diligently. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for all this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Amen and amen. Amen and amen.